Good morning. Happy Sunday, happy Lord's Day. It's great to be with you this morning. How many of you have gardens that you tend to? Well, it's a decent amount. We have a sort of a garden. We have fruit trees, and they're abundant in fruit. This one right here is a branch from our lemon tree. You can see already it's kind of not very happy that it's not on the tree. This is a branch from our orange tree. Both of these trees produce a lot of fruit. For some reason, the trees in our yard produce a lot of fruit. The lemon tree produces an insane amount. There are lemons all over. They're mostly green right now, but there's so much fruit on the tree, it literally is difficult to find a branch without fruit. But these branches right here, if you look at them, they're really pretty. I mean, they're green. They look fairly healthy. But I can tell by looking at them that they'll never produce fruit. And the way that I can tell is that they're not connected to a tree. They're just branches in my hand. Nothing is feeding them. Nothing is nurturing them. Nothing is giving them the life that it takes to produce fruit. I wonder if that describes us as believers. We look churchy. We speak Christianese. Sometimes we go to church on Sundays, maybe even Wednesday on a good week. Fruit struggling. These branches are not anchored in the tree. They're not anchored in the source. And we're in the middle of a series called Anchored. You can see the slide up there. It's on your bulletin, Anchored. And we've been looking at different aspects of being anchored. And Pastor Brian has kind of led us in looking at not just one anchor of Christ. We know that He's our anchor. But a multiplicity of anchors in our life that help us weather the storms of life. That help us in our Christian walk, our faith. We've looked at being anchored in the truth about God, the truth about man, the truth about Jesus. Anchored in thanksgiving, anchored in joy, anchored in following, anchored in belonging. This morning, we're going to look at being anchored in abiding. The word abide means remain, stay, dwell. It's kind of all the same there. But being anchored in it. Most of us that have been around church a while will undoubtedly know that without staying with Jesus, your faith can dwindle. In fact, your faith may not be faith if you're not staying with Jesus. Sometimes the enemy may want to trick us to think that we have faith because we are geographically close to those who do. Or we go into a building that facilitates it. Or we read a Bible that talks about it. Yet are we connected to Jesus? This morning we're going to look at this. We're going to look at a few things. We're going to look at abiding, what Jesus talks about. We're going to look at what it means. You know, like why abide? Why do we do this? And then how? Because sometimes we come to church and we're like, that's a Christianese word. Like, what does that mean? Abide. Like, I never got taught that in high school. Or even to dwell. How do you dwell with Jesus? How do you remain with Him? If you would not mind opening your Bibles, there's Bibles in the back. Hopefully you have them with you. You might have your eyeball on your phone. You can open it up to the book of John. It is the fourth book of the New Testament, the fourth gospel. We're going to be in chapter 15. While you're turning there, kind of give you some context. Jesus is talking with his disciples. He's spending this time, but maybe you can think of something, imagine something. Imagine you have children. Doesn't matter the age. Imagine they're going to go away on a trip for a long time. Like, think of this. Your kids are going to go for a long time. No access to them. No cell phone. No email. No way to talk to them. But you got this last evening with them. And you have their undivided attention. Think about it. What would you want to tell them before they left? What do you want them to hang on to before they leave and are kind of as far as you're concerned, kind of out on their own? What would you want them to make sure they understood? What would you want them to make sure they kept with them the whole time? By chance, not by chance, by design. That's where we're sitting this morning, where Jesus is in this last evening before he goes to the cross, and he's hanging with his disciples. And in this last evening, they have the Passover supper together. Jesus washes their feet. He teaches them a lot of things. In the midst of this, seemingly somewhere right in the middle, he gives them this teaching about abiding. And when you look at it, you can tell this is important to Jesus. He wants these guys to know that they need to abide. So we're going to read this little section. We're going to read chapter 15, 1 through 17 together. Then we're going to talk about it. But what I want us to see is Jesus is going to use an allegory. He's going to talk about branches. He's going to talk about fruit. He's going to talk about a vine. But he's not just talking about branches. Not just fruit. Not just a vine. But you and I and he and our lives. So if you wouldn't mind standing so we can read this together. Before we do this, let's go to the Father in prayer. Lord, as we read your word, we stop to say thank you for it. May we hold it to be the authority in our life. I pray that you speak to us through it. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 15, try to go there in your mind. This is Jesus this last night with his guys before he goes to the cross to give his life. Starting in verse 1, he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. If you are my friends, you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. You may have a seat. As a whole, this allegory, again, Jesus is talking about gardening, agriculture, something you want to call that, planting, and he's using words that these people no doubt understand, right? This type of world they lived in. The vine dresser, the branch, the fruit, that's the main players in this story, but again, not just a vine. The vine is Jesus. The vine dresser is God the Father. The branches are us. We're followers, people in him. The fruit is not just fruit that you can eat. In fact, it's not at all what you can eat, what he's talking about here. This is the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of God, the fruit of our faith in our lives. But the main point we're going to look at this morning is to abide. Now, that word in the Greek, it means, check this out, to remain, to stay, to dwell. If it is in the matter of time, continue on, keep going, stay with it. Don't stop, continue, stay. If it's a place, a location, stay. Be there, continue in that spot. If it is a position, a state of being, keep going. Don't stop. So in this context, if we're with Christ geographically, even though obviously we can't see him, if you're with Christ geographically, stay. Continue. If the state of your being is a believer, living in Christ, him living in you, stay. Continue. Don't stop. And if it's just right now and it's not going to continue, that is not abiding. Continue in the time. So what I want to do is kind of look at, again, two things. One, why we abide. Why? I mean, why should we do this? Why should these believers, why should these followers of Jesus continue to do this? Why should we, 2,000 some years after this, stay with Jesus if he gives us his Holy Spirit? Well, let's look at the whys. First off, I want us to see, on your outlines, probably have a slide for this. It's a command. Why abide? Because Jesus commands it. The Greek word here is actually in the imperative, which is an actual command. It's not a suggestion. He's not saying, hey, Matthew, Peter, next Tuesday, if you got nothing going on, you know, might be a good idea just to come hang by me. Or even just close to the vicinity if you want. But if you get busy, don't worry. But that's not what he's saying. He's commanding, abide in me. That word holds, and this is a continual thing. Again, in time, in location, in status, in your position. This is a command. Now, we don't deal a lot of commands in our day and age. One, we don't like anyone to tell us what to do. Even as employees, we don't like when our boss tells us what to do. We certainly don't like it when our phone tells us what to do. Or the government, no. Right? Do we allow God to tell us what to do? And is it possible to think of this as a command, as something we are going to follow? Do we think it's just a suggestion? It's not obscure, it's not vague. This is clear. Abide in me as I in you. This is what Jesus is telling us. The second one, we abide because God wants it. Now we see this through our whole passage, that God wants it. Not only is it just a command, just to say, to do, he wants this. Jesus came to earth to be with us. He came to have a relationship with us, to love us, to have him love us, and to have us love him. This symbiotic relationship. Although he doesn't need us, we are the ones who need him. But it is a two-way relationship, like every relationship is. But he wants it. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Listen to that invitation. Take my yoke upon me, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's a welcoming, loving invitation that he wants us to be a part of. He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And it's not just you. It's not just me. It's not just us. In fact, 2 Peter 3:9, this is a good one for us to remember, put in our thinking caps. It says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but not wanting anyone to perish. He wants all men to be saved. He wants all men to be saved, which means he wants all men to repent, which means he wants all men to come to him, all men and women, to turn away from the life that lives for the enemy or for the world and themselves and follow Jesus. He wants all people. And the interesting thing, if you look at verse 16, it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. He here wants our fruit to abide. It's this domino effect of abiding, remaining, staying. He wants all to stay with him. You ever have anyone in your life that you just wish they would stay a little closer? You just want them. You want them close. Have you ever felt wanted? Let me ask you this. Have you ever felt unwanted? That one stings, right? How does it feel to know, not guess, that Jesus wants you all the time? With him, along with him, a part of him. He'll live with you, but he wants it. And he commands it. Third thing, why abide? Because it brings forth fruit. God gives fruit, right? This is every branch that does abide in him bears fruit. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, verse 2, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit, which means even the fruitful ones, he wants more fruit. Like this, check this out. Like, I cut this morning. It's been off the tree for 3.5 hours. It definitely looks sad. It definitely looks needy. Sure ain't gonna bear no fruit. Abiding brings fruit. Now, here's the cool thing. It's not magical, it's godlical. I just made that up. It's godlical, right? This is godly. When you abide, the fruit comes. You don't say, Lord, I'm abiding, now where do I get the fruit skin so I can put it on a fruit wheel and make it and squish it and make it turn into an apple or turn into love. It's when we abide, the fruit comes. God produces the fruit in us. We don't even have to go to the fruit stand. It just comes. God's like, if you abide in me, there's your fruit. Sometimes we wonder, why I ain't got no fruit in my life? Well, go figure. God wrote a book. He tells you why there's no fruit in your life. Are we willing to abide? My wife's going to think I'm lame. I've been complaining. She went like this, yeah. I've been complaining that my back and my legs hurt. And all of last week, every day my hamstring hurt. Did I stretch it? No. I was just like, it hurts. What's wrong with me, right? The last 2 days I started stretching. For whatever reason, I was too lazy to do what tends to help when you got pain. How often are we too lazy to do what tends to help when we want fruit in our lives? Oh, well, I just want the fruit, Lord. Yeah. You know, sometimes I just want dinner and I don't want to do anything for it. The last 2 nights I made my own. Man, it takes some time. Usually my wife makes it, and it's fantastic. But there's still a process. Are we willing to abide? Now, the Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5, he's talking about fruit. But this Spirit, through the Spirit, he says this in 5:16 and on, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh." You get that, right? So, self and spirit. "For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these." Most of those don't happen if you're truly abiding. I'm just saying. Those usually don't hang out with abiding. They don't coexist very well. "I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." But, everyone say but. Now it's like 60%. Everyone say but. There you go. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." Now, it's the fruit of the Spirit. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. And verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. That's abiding. Keeping in step with the Spirit, living by the Spirit. Abiding brings forth fruit. Another thing, why abide? It brings forth joy. It brings forth joy. Look at verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Yes, joy is a fruit of the Spirit, but Jesus specifically talks about joy here. You know that Jesus stuff, the stuff of Jesus, is way better than all the other stuff we can get anywhere else. Sometimes we think we get joy from money or sex or drugs or alcohol or whatever, all these things, and they may bring some momentary happiness, not anywhere close to the joy that Jesus brings. And again, byproduct, abide in Jesus, and he'll bring joy. Joy does not always mean you're like skipping around, like woo-hoo-hoo. Like that's not what joy is. Because some of us can go through adversity and still have joy. Ever been there? So we're not like, oh, yippee, give me some more of this adversity. But somehow, God gives us peace and his joy because we're remaining, we're staying with him, we're in step with him, we're living through him, in him, and by him. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. Rejoice is basically the action of joy. Being filled with joy and expressing joy. Rejoice. Now that word rejoice, the in with that, in, by, with, among, at, on, through. All of those are in Christ. Abiding. Within Jesus, with Jesus, by Jesus. There's a whole lot of Jesus in this, right? We should all be a whole lot about Jesus. We abide, why? Because without it, we can do nothing. There's a tough one. Without it, we can do nothing. Now, obviously, Jesus is not saying nothing at all because people do stuff all the time. This is a spiritual conversation, right? We've already discussed this. These are spiritual things. And he's saying, in a sense, for the kingdom of God, for God, you can do nothing without Jesus. How many of us try without him? Like, wow. I look like a fruitful branch. Well, maybe not. I look green. I may even lay close to the tree. But if I'm not connected, I really ain't going to have too much fruit. And I can't really do anything. In fact, if you want it, you can take it and see what happens in a day. You can just walk out with this at the end of the service. But see how much this branch can do without the tree. It's not going to do anything. How much can we do without the Lord? We can do nothing. But this, again, this is a spiritual truth, a spiritual thing. Now, Jesus teaches spiritual truths through his whole earthly ministry. The apostles continue this on. The apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 2, spiritual truths are taught and interpreted and, I guess, understood by the Spirit. The natural person, it says, cannot understand these things, they're spiritually discerned. So when you hear any of this morning, later on, whatever, when you hear any of this and you get it, that is the Spirit working. Because without it, without God's Spirit, you don't get it. So that's great news, the Spirit's working if you're getting any of these things. But it also tells us that this is a spiritual conversation. Like if they were like, huh? How am I going to have an apple? What? Then you know, a whole different conversation. Without abiding, we can do nothing. In fact, in John 6, when Jesus is talking with his disciples, he kind of tells this hard saying, you can read about it, but it says, after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. To whom are we going to go? We got nowhere else. I got nothing. Outside of Christ, I got nothing else. Nothing else is going to help. Nothing else is going to work. Maybe you've been there through life and you've been like, wow, I tried this and I tried this and I tried this and I tried this. None of that works. Works for a little bit and here and there. Or it's deceiving, and we think it works. And then when the storms of life hit, it doesn't work. Are we abiding in Jesus? Because without him, we can do nothing else. And why abide? Again, the next one, without it, without abiding, we are thrown away and burned. This is a tough one. We are thrown away and burned. Look at verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Now this is imagery like of the end times. Right? Someone that has this finality of doing away with Jesus, and they're at this spot where no longer, there's no more access to the Lord. And their time is done, and now they're thrown away because they did not do what they were supposed to do. They did not do what they were made to do. They did not do what God wanted them to do, what God commanded them to do, what God helped them do, if they would just want to do it. And they're good for nothing except to be thrown away and burned. How much do we abide? Second half here, this will be a little bit faster, but how do we abide? Again, because sometimes we're like, "What? I don't get it. I get the word abide, dwell, stay, remain, whatever." But we abide by living in a relationship with Jesus. Actually living in a relationship with Jesus. So you can write that one down on your outline. And the 23rd Psalm talks about this relationship. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." This is an ongoing relationship with David and the shepherd, David and the Lord. It is a living in relationship with Jesus. Now, you can live in a relationship with someone, and if you haven't talked to your buddy in a long time, I mean, you may talk to him on the phone, you're like, "Hey, what's up, yeah." But there are people that you know very well, and you're in a relationship with them, a living relationship, and you know them well. You talk to them often. You understand their tone of voice. You understand if they need something. You understand when they want something. If they're offering something, you understand. If they're hurting, if they're joyful, you give to them. You allow them to give to you. It's an ongoing living relationship. Do we have that type of relationship with Jesus? Abiding, next one. By literally staying with Jesus. And I mean staying with him. Right? Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Right? Which means literally walk with me. But how do you walk with Jesus when he's not walking literally physically in front of you? Okay, what's he telling you? Where's he going? Are you in his word? We're going to get there in a second. But how do we know where Jesus is going? Are we in a relationship with him? Or is this just a periodic thing we do? Again, when Jesus said, "Do you want to leave too?" Peter said, "Where else are we going to go?" Which means, "I go with you, Jesus. You go over here, I go over here. You get in a boat, I go in a boat." In fact, when Jesus went to the cross, he was crucified. They believed this so strongly, he was crucified and buried. Like, they didn't know what to do. They just were like, they just kind of stuck around and sat in a room. Like, they didn't know what to do, which in a sense was good, but in a sense their faith was shaken. But, like, they were waiting for their shepherd. They were waiting for the one that was walking with them and talking with them and showing them what to do and taking them places. Do we wake up and go, "Lord, where are you going today?" Now, yes, obviously we have jobs and children and family members and friends and we take out the trash. Yes, great. Are you doing that with Jesus? What if he says, "Go one more block"? What if he says, "Don't take a right here, go straight"? Why am I going straight? Why? What if he says, go pick this up? Or what if you're about to do something and someone interrupts you? "Okay, Lord, I'm going to do this." No, I have something else to do. Are you real time following Jesus? That's abiding. We abide by reading in his word. We abide by reading his word. Jesus, actually, in John 8:31, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples." Yeah? If you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples. That's just straightforward right there. You can't even, it's straightforward. How often are we in God's word? Sunday mornings. Sometimes Wednesday nights. Is that it? Are we in his word? Do you know his word? The way we learn most about God is right here. I believe you can listen to radio stations, you can listen to sermons, you can come here every week. But if you're not reading God's word, you're not understanding the wholeness about God that he wants us to understand. This is how you know God, reading his word, abiding in his word. Abiding by prayer. Literally talking to Jesus at special quiet times, but also maybe in the loud, frantic times. Whenever you can talk with him. However you can talk with him, out loud, internally. Writing it down. Prayer wall in the back. What does our prayer life look like? It's part of our relationship with God, but do we pray? Some of us, I don't really know how to pray that well. Okay, that's one, that's okay. But two, someone made you think that you couldn't. It's like when someone says you can't draw. Yeah, you can. You may draw really weird, but you can draw. You can talk to God. God does not say, hey, it has to be these syllables. It has to be in this Greek dialect. God knows your dialect. He knows your tones. He knows your prayers before you offer them. But he wants us to pray. He actually wants us to give our requests. And it's a very unique relationship to have someone who says, I know everything you're thinking and wanting. I still want you to tell me. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your heart. I want to hear your time. I want to talk with you. I want to be part of that relationship. Philippians 4, we already read this a little bit. We'll read the rest of it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Pray to God. Tell him what you need. Tell him what you want. Tell him what you like. Is it just once a day? Just wondering. Or is it just before dinner? Because if that's all you talk to someone, they might feel a little less important in your life. We abide by obedience. It's a huge one. Huge one, friends. We abide by obedience. Verse 10, 12, and 13. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Ah, Jesus kept the commandments too. Jesus is obedient. What a fantastic example. This is my commandment that you love one another, as I have loved you. You are my friends if you do what I command you. In fact, if you go one chapter back, or even a half a chapter, and you look at John 14 and verse 15, 21, 23, and 24, this is rad, but it might blow your mind if you're not ready for it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Wow. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he who loves me. Anyone who loves me will keep my word. You guys get the consistency here, right? Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Jesus said in Luke 6, he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? That's like, wow. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? And then in Matthew, he talks about the same thing in Matthew 7, and he talks about a man who built his house, right? And I'm going to read it. Thinking about North Carolina and where this flood was. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. It's obedience. Obedience weathered the storm. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Obedience withstood the storms of life. Our obedience is super important. In fact, I recently started just writing down in this little booklet, commands and teaching, but specific commands of Jesus. Just things that, because I was like, well, what are Jesus' commands? Because he doesn't give just a list of commandments. What are the things he teaches me? I got to figure this out. But it's by reading God's word. Oh yeah, Jesus wants me to do this. Oh yeah, Jesus said, don't do this. Oh yeah, Jesus wants me to do this. Okay, I want to be obedient. I got enough storms in my life. Anyone got storms in your life? Or you got smooth sailing? Equator all the time. 70 degrees, no sunburn, clear water. Fish delivered to your door. Wind, breeze. Fantastic. Everything's perfect all the time, right? If you know how to do that, you tell me. But if not, storms are coming or have come. We abide by loving. Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Right? And love your neighbor as yourself. That's the second, which is just like it. 1 John 2:10, whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. Abides in the light. Why is that word again? He remains in the light. Who's the light? Jesus. Whoever loves his brother remains in the light. You're remaining. We finish our last one. The band can come on up. Jeremy can come as we get close to doing communion here. But loving is part of the abiding. And the last thing I want to say about how we abide is very intentional and sometimes difficult. It's putting our minds on things above. Colossians tells us this. In Colossians 3:1, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, put your minds on the things that are above. The actual verse, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. The right hand of God. God is here. Jesus is here. Think about the Lord. Think about the things that are there. Put your heart and your mind there, which means don't think of those other things that are pulling you away. Remember when Peter tried to oppose Jesus? Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. And then he said, you are hindrance to me, for you're not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. We've got to set our minds on the things of God. As we finish, the challenge is, be all about Jesus. My challenge to you, be all about Jesus. May look different. For some of you, it's come to Jesus, right? Jesus is calling you to have faith in Him, to put your faith in Him, to make a decision. Turn from the world, turn from the old life, live for Jesus as your Savior. Make the choice. I'm just letting you right now know, it doesn't happen by osmosis. Repenting is an actual turning. If you have never repented from your sins and turned to follow Jesus and put your faith in Him, you might not have faith in Him. You might be just going through the motions, and you might look like a branch that has fruit, but you might not. Maybe He's telling you, hey, you need to start thinking about me. You don't think about me ever. You don't set your mind and your heart on things above. Hey, you don't abide. You don't read my word. How can we grow in our abiding? Acts 17:28 says, in Him we live and move and have our being. That's what we should be. In Him we live and move and have our being. Because as Job says, in His hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. It's a pleasure and a blessing to abide in Jesus. And it brings pleasures and blessings when we abide in Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, as we wrestle with this subject of abiding, dwelling, remaining, pray that you help us. We thank you for forgiveness and mercy and grace. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that does help us. Lord, help us to grow in you. Thank you for Jesus, for sending Him to live with us, to abide with us as we abide in Him. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.